Sunrise with Shona on Hot
102.7. Good morning, beautiful people of God. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona on the Mighty Hot 102.7, and it is great to be with you this morning. This is one of the most favorite parts of my week, when I get to spend time with you, exploring scripture with you, sitting down, trying to work out what it means for you and for myself. Today, we're going to be looking at healing and the consequences at play if we don't follow God's way. So we're going to be looking at two readings, one from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament, and I'm beginning with an interesting character called Naaman. We find him in the Old Testament, and I'm looking from 2 Kings chapter 5. Naaman was a commander of a king, King Aram. He was a great man in the sight of Aram because the Lord had given victory to Aram through Naaman. He was a valiant soldier, but he had a problem. He had leprosy. And to understand what this meant for Naaman at that time, let's just look at leprosy today and leprosy in Naaman's time. So modern day leprosy, we all know, I think, is called Hansen's disease, chronic infectious disease caused mainly by a type of bacteria. And the disease affects the skin, peripheral nerves, the lining of our upper respiratory tract and eyes, and their physical deformities. But perhaps even worse is that the person who has it faces stigmatization and discrimination. What I find almost unbelievable is that it's a neglected tropical disease today, and you get 200,000 new cases reported every year. It's transmitted through droplets from the nose or the mouth, and when it's untreated, through close contact, someone else can get it. But in the time of Naaman, all people knew that it was a contagious disease, and so they excluded them from society. And there was a physical and a spiritual component to it. As with most diseases in the Bible, if we look at John 9, Jesus and the disciples are walking along. They encounter a man born blind. What is the one question the disciples ask Jesus? Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind, should be born like this? So even up to the New Testament, if someone was ill or something was wrong with them, they believed it was a consequence of sin. So there was this belief that illness was because of sin. And we first find leprosy mentioned in Leviticus 13 and 14, according to Mosaic law. And we need to understand that in the Bible, it applied to a much broader range of skin diseases than the one known as Hansen's disease today. As noted in Leviticus 13:2, the Hebrew term traditionally translated leprosy was actually used for a variety of diseases affecting the skin, including whitening or splotchy bleaching, gray scabs, and boils, scales, and so forth. And the law of Moses, while it seems to be exceptionally harsh in its requirements, people had to wear a mask or wear things over them, they had to have torn clothing, unkempt hair, and they kept having to shout out, unclean, unclean. But actually, it was probably the only way to contain the diseases in those days. And they did see when there was an outbreak at some stage in Europe in the Middle Ages, the Jewish communities were much better protected because they followed these regulations. So while they seem extremely harsh to us today, probably in those days, the only way they knew how to contain the disease was to cause people to be excluded from society until they were pronounced clean. For me, it's worth noting that Jesus turns it upside down, as recorded in Matthew's Gospel. We hear a man with leprosy came and knelt before Jesus and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. Even in that, Jesus is breaking the law. He touched the man. "I'm willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy, and so in the process of restoring the man to health and ceremonial cleanliness, Jesus has reached across the exclusion, the isolation, touched the person, for me showing that God's desire is for healing and restoration to a community. God does not want us to be excluded. God longs to heal us. I'm going to continue with the story of Naaman in a moment, but first, on the Mighty Hot 102.7, turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Sunrise with Shona on Hot 102.7.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus on the Mighty Hot 102.7. It is so good to be with you this morning. You're listening to Reverend Shona from St. Mark's Anglican Church. And we're looking at healing and the consequences if we don't follow God's way today. And we're looking at the Old Testament and the New Testament. So let's go back to the Old Testament, where we started looking at Naaman, who was a soldier. He was a commander in the army. He had given the king victory. God had given him victory, given that king victory through Naaman. Naaman has leprosy. Now we're told there was a band of raiders from Aram who had gone out and taken captive a young girl from Israel. So it's an Israelite. And she served Naaman's wife. So she is actually probably a slave of Naaman's wife. And she says to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman goes to his master and tells him what the girl from Israel has said. And the king, because he loves Naaman, said, "By all means, go. I will send a letter to the king of Israel." Naaman leaves, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter he took the king of Israel read, "With this letter I'm sending my servant Naaman to you, so you may cure him of his leprosy." The king of Israel, of course, gets this letter and freaks out. He says, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? What does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of leprosy? See how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me." So the king of Israel is really worried because he doesn't know how to cure Naaman. And he feels that if he doesn't cure him, then Aram is going to be really cross with him and there's going to be war. Elisha, the man of God, hears that the king of Israel had torn his clothes. He sent him a message. "Why have you torn your robes? Have that man come and see me, and he will know that there's a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and, of course, all the stuff he's brought with him. He stops at the door of Elisha's house, and Elisha sends a message to him. He doesn't even go to him. He says, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." So you can imagine how Naaman's feeling now as a commander in an army, and all he gets is, "Go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan." Naaman goes away furious. He says, "I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hands over the spots and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all these waters in Israel? Couldn't I have washed myself in them and be cleansed?" He goes off in an absolute rage. Naaman's servant says to him, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says, go and wash and be cleansed?" So Naaman goes down, dips himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him. His flesh is restored, and he becomes clean like that of a young boy. Naaman and all his attendants go back to the man of God. He stands before him and says, "Now know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. Please accept a gift from your servant." And the prophet answers, "As surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I'm not accepting a thing." Even though Naaman urged him, he refused. "If you will not, please let me, your servant, be given as much earth as a pair of mules can carry, for your servant will never again make burnt offerings or sacrifices to any other god but the Lord. But may the Lord forgive your servant for this one thing. When my master enters the temple of Rimmon to bow down, and he is leaning on my arm, and I have to bow there also, when I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord forgive your servant for this. Go in peace," Elisha says. Then here's the twist in the tale. Naaman's covered a bit of distance, and the servant of Elisha, the man of God, says, "My master was far too easy on Naaman. He should have taken some of that money. I'm going to run after him and get something from him." So he hurries after Naaman, and when Naaman sees him running towards him, he gets off his chariot and says, "Is everything all right?" "Everything's all right," says the servant. "My master sent me to say, 2 young men from the company of the prophets have just come to me from the hill country of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and 2 sets of clothing." "By all means," says Naaman, "take it." So he urges the servant to accept them and tied up the 2 talents of silver in 2 bags and 2 sets of clothing. He gives them the 2 of his servants and they carried on ahead. When Gehazi, now this is the servant of Elisha, comes to a hill, he takes the thing from the servants, puts them away in his house and sends the men away. When he goes in and stands before Elisha, Elisha says to him, "Where have you been, Gehazi?" "Your servant didn't go anywhere," Gehazi says. But Elisha says, "Was not my spirit with you when the man got down from his chariot to meet you? Is there the time to take money or to accept clothes or olive groves or vineyards or flocks or herds or male or female slaves? Naaman's leprosy is going to cling to you and to your descendants forever." Then Gehazi went from Elisha's presence and his skin was leprous. It had become as white as snow. Now I read that and that is why I've been saying these readings are about healing and consequences. Because for me the greatest teaching here is that God's healing is a free grace given to all. We cannot buy it. It is given to us. And in this case it wasn't just reserved for an Israelite, but also for Naaman, outside the faith, a foreigner. So it's not only Jesus in the New Testament who shows the inclusive nature of God. We find it right here in the Old Testament. We also need to note that God heals in God's way and God's time. Elisha doesn't come out and speak to Naaman. He doesn't touch him. He doesn't pray over him. He just says, go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan and you will be clean. We see that God heals in different ways, different times in God's time. And I do not believe that it's connected to how much faith we have. Naaman actually didn't have much faith that he was going to be healed if we look at this. He goes away furious. Who is this man? He didn't even come out and speak to me. I've got better rivers where I live. I'm not going to jump in this Jordan 7 times until his servant says, well, just do it. And he's healed. I really find it difficult when we preach that if you have enough faith, you will be healed. Because we are all healed, but we're healed in different ways at different times in God's way. And ultimate healing, of course, is actually death. And all of us have to die at some time. But I find it really hurtful when someone comes to me and says, I clearly don't have enough faith because God hasn't healed me. God is bigger than us. And God can heal in God's way, in God's time, at any time. And as I said, we can't buy healing as Naaman wanted to. Elisha refuses his offering. And there's a warning in this because Elisha's servant then runs after him and takes the silver and takes the clothing. We need to remember that God sees our hearts and their consequences for sin. And while I want to stress very clearly here that I do not believe for a minute that God inflicts illness on us because we've sinned, let's not forget Jesus' words that I shared right in the beginning when his disciples say, who made this man blind? Who sinned? Was it his mother or his father? Jesus said, no one sinned. I do know that there are consequences for our actions, and they're brought about just by our own actions sometimes, not necessarily God punishing us. So let me talk about cholesterol. I do have slightly high cholesterol. I need to change my diet, I need to exercise more, and so on. There are consequences for the way we live. God did not inflict that on me. That is me doing that to me. And so I want to assure you I am changing it, but the point I'm trying to make is that we do sometimes suffer the consequences of our own actions, and we shouldn't always blame God for that. Healing is God's. God heals in many ways in God's time. And so we need to relax into that healing, ask God for healing, and do whatever it is God tells us to do. Coming up now on the Mighty Heart 1027, glorify thy name.
Sunrise with Shona
on Heart 1027.
Glorify thy name on the Mighty Heart 1027. Good morning. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona, and it's wonderful to be with you. Today we've looked at the healing of Naaman, and I now want to look at the gospel reading. We're going to Luke chapter 10, Jesus sending out the disciples, in fact sending out 72 of them. So we're told, after this the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them 2 by 2 ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. 2 by 2, when I'm doing a healing service, I like to have more than one person praying, so that no one looks at a person and says, you've got the healing hands of God, because it's God who heals. So I like us to pray 2 by 2, and I see even Jesus sent out people 2 by 2, and we should be following that example, going out 2 by 2. And Jesus tells them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. So the instruction is to take absolutely nothing with them. And I wonder how many of us have the faith to do that, to just go in the name of Christ. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. And I like that, peace to this house. When we enter people's homes, when we're visiting friends and so on, I mean, we obviously shouldn't be saying peace to this house as we walk in. But do we think that? Do we say it to God quietly in our own hearts? Peace to this house, Lord. Because I think it is actually a nice thing we could do. And when we walk into our own house, do we say peace to this house? And then we're told, if someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it's going to return to you. And I think we see that over and over. If we're with people who are not peaceful, who are trying to cause issues, we feel it. You actually feel it. And he's saying to these disciples, you're going to feel it. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter town and are welcomed, eat what's offered to you. Heal the sick who are there, and tell them the kingdom of God has come near you. I love this way Jesus speaks. Just take nothing with you. Go out when you enter a house, say peace to this house, stay in that house, eat whatever's given to you. And just by the way, heal all the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. But when you enter a town where you're not welcomed, go into the street and say, even the dust of your town will wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. Here's again a consequence. So here again we see Jesus saying there's going to be a consequence. People do not accept you in my name. There's a consequence to that. Whoever listens to you, says Jesus, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. And he also rejects whoever sent me. So in other words, if they reject you, they're rejecting me, Jesus, and they're rejecting God. The 72 return with joy and say, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. So they did healings, they cast out demons. And Jesus replies, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And I have to pause there and really reflect on that. When we look at healing, these disciples have come back, 72 of them, absolutely in awe of what God has done through them. People have been healed. People have been set free. They're amazed at the power of God working in them. And Jesus says, do not let that go to your heads. That's not what you should be celebrating. Celebrate that you've inherited eternal life. Jesus grounds them, if you like. He brings them back. He says, don't get all inflated about this. Don't let your egos get inflated by this. Rather rejoice that you are serving God and that you are one of God's children. And never forget that. And I think when we're doing the work of God and people come up to us and say, oh, that was a wonderful sermon, or you're amazing, or whatever, or God has healed me through you, always remember what we give thanks for is that we are children of God and it is God doing the work, not us, and God is choosing to use us. So rejoice that our names are written in heaven. We've looked at healing, how God heals in different ways, in different times, how healing is not restricted to people of one particular faith, and that may make us uncomfortable. We find Naaman being healed by Elisha, by the God of Israel, Jesus healing people of different faiths. If we look at Matthew 8 or Luke 7, we've got a centurion's son, we've got a Canaanite woman's daughter. God's healing is inclusive. There is something I do want to stress, though, when we look at healing, and I used to read the books of Francis McNutt, who was a God used him powerfully to bring healing to people. He used to speak about a thing called soaking prayer, and I've never forgotten it. I read it probably in my teens, how he believed that sometimes some people, some situations needed soaking prayer to be soaked in God. And so you have to keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on seeking, keep on praying. And I do want to stress that because we know that thing, you know, knock and the door will be opened, seek and you will find, and ask and you will receive. But if we translate that properly, it is keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on seeking. And so we have to be faithful in prayer and continue to pray. In Matthew 15, Jesus says to this woman, you have great faith, your request is granted, and her daughter is healed. She was also a foreigner. And so I just want to say that we are called to pray for all people without discrimination because the healing is God's, not ours. And we need to keep our focus on God and who we are in God and be grateful for that. This morning I mentioned that man born blind. Jesus put mud, made mud actually, and put it on the guy's eyes and he could see. We know that Naaman didn't even see Elisha at first and he was healed. So there's so many different ways in which people are healed. There's no one way to pray, no one way to do it. All we call to do is in faith, lift up the person to God and ask God to heal them because the healing is God's. We've also seen Lazarus been raised from the dead. We've seen a man healed with dropsy. We've seen a woman with a bleeding disorder healed, two blind men healed, a high priest's servant, 10 lepers, an invalid man, a nobleman's son, a widow's son raised from the dead. I could go on and on about the different people Jesus healed and the different way in which he healed them. But the point I'm making is that God heals. Jesus heals. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So God still heals in God's way, in God's time. And ultimately, every single one of us is going to return fully to God. We inherit eternal life and we live with God in eternity where there will be no more tears, no more illness, no more crying because we will be soaking in the light and the love of God. and that is ultimate healing. But while we're here on earth, we call to be faithful to God, praying to God, asking for God's healing upon all who need it, allowing ourselves to be used as God's channel of provision and healing, but always keeping our eyes on God and who we are in God, and recognizing it is only by the grace of God that we are able to do what we do and that we have inherited eternal life. I hope and pray that something of what I've said has touched you today. I'm going to end with a quick prayer, so let us pray. Lord, as we come before you this morning with whatever it is within us that needs healing, whether it's physical, emotional, or spiritual, Lord, we just place ourselves in you. We ask you to place us in that river, the water of life, that flows from the throne of grace out through the middle of heaven, out onto the tree that carries the leaves for the healing of the nation, and right into us. And please, Lord, just bring your healing hand and your hand of protection and blessing. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. We thank you for your love. We thank you that through Jesus we have been saved. And I pray that we would always remember who we are in you and live our lives from that place of love. And I pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. To wrap up this morning, Jesus, what a beautiful name.
Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 102.7.